Hannah.
And I'm Katie. And this is One Kiss Means Forever. This is the podcast where we talk about all of the things that are snuggly and kitty and cute about all of your favorite made-for-TV romances, but also sometimes the things that make you get stuck up in a tree because cats do that and they have to have a fireman that saves them. If they're outdoor cats, spay and neuter your pets, everyone. Anyway, we're talking about your favorite made-for-TV romances, the kinds that you find on Hallmark, Netflix, Lifetime, etc.
Yay! So before we jump into the episode, when this is dropping, happy Thanksgiving to those who celebrate. And regardless of how that is, and to me, I always think of Thanksgiving as that holiday where I get some time off and I go and like hang out with my family.
And we eat gourds.
We do eat gourds.
And why is this episode so special about this date, Hannah?
Okay. So this is a movie that I'm sort of shocked we've never done before. Though I guess like timing is everything. We're going to be talking about a movie that is a classic of all classics for Hallmark, The Nine Lives of Christmas.
Yay!
Now, if you know this movie, you love this movie. I don't think there is anybody who doesn't love this movie movie.
I hope.
I hope so. But it was very important for us to get this out today because tonight, if you listen to it the day this is dropping, Thanksgiving 2021, the sequel is coming out.
Yay!
I'm so excited. So, should we just jump in on this movie, Katie?
I think let's just jump in. We're on our eighth live. Let's go.
Yeah. So, Nine Lives of Christmas. It originally premiered November 8th, 2014. Like, this is an old movie.
Oh my gosh.
In Hallmark world.
Yeah.
Also, that means it's been a shit long time for a sequel to then come out. Like, usually they're like a year, maybe two.
I'm for it.
And I again, could not be happier that we get a sequel to this movie.
Couldn't be happier. Right, dear?
So, this is the Hallmark synopsis. Fireman Zachary Stone is a confirmed bachelor who doesn't believe in love or commitment. When a stray tabby cat named Ambrose shows up at his door, Zachary takes him in and slowly starts to see that a little companionship might not be so bad after all. Zachary's commitment to solitude is further challenged when he meets Merrily, an animal lover and veterinary student who teaches Zachary how to care for his new feline roommate. Chemistry immediately develops between the two, but will they find a way together despite themselves? And it stars Kimberly Sustad and Brandon Routh.
Holler.
I do want to say this is based on a book, which I have not read. And
me neither.
After listening to the Which Was Better episode, will not read.
Oh, good. I'm glad that you did that research because I was thinking about reading it, but not so much. Okay. We'll talk about this later.
We'll get there.
Okay.
We're gonna do the movie synopsis, and I think it's important to say that we're pretty much exclusively talking about the movie because they are apparently not that similar.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah, we'll talk about it. But here's the movie synopsis based on what we watched. So Zachary Stone, a.k.a. 2006's Superman, somehow Brandon Routh, is a fireman who doesn't do the whole love thing. See, his parents got divorced, so he knows that love is not for him. I have felt him on that in my life. He's a casual dater through and through, but he's always got the dates because, again, hot firefighter. Meow. He's currently dating Blair, the beautiful yet bitchy model, and he's in the process of flipping his house, which is a thing that he does on the side.
Kimberly Sustad plays Merrily White, a vet student who is all work and no play. She's basically put her life on hold to, or she did put her life on hold to raise her little sister when their parents died. So she's just recently started to like work on getting her dream realized, which is being a vet, obviously. She lives in an apartment complex that doesn't allow pets. So not the greatest place for a vet slash animal lover, because if you're not an animal lover and a vet, that's weird. So she has a secret cat, Queenie, who hopefully nobody is going to find.
I also feel the secret cat real hard.
Yeah, I remember those days of Persephone. Yeah. She's not a secret cat anymore.
She's not. Shh. But still. Shh. So one day after work, Zachary rescues a cat from a dog attack. The cat, whose caller says Ambrose, seems to decide that Zachary is now his. When Zachary pursues Ambrose's real owner, it turns out that the person has died and Ambrose really does need a new home. So Zachary is okay with him staying for a short period of time until they find a better solution. But Ambrose is also a hit at the fire station too, as he's a very friendly and outgoing cat.
Yeah, I feel like Ambrose and Pigeon are like different colors but the same. I feel like Pigeon would do really well at a firehouse. He'd be like, oh, I can just go hang out here? Cool. There are people around. I like people. Anyway, so at the supermarket, Merrily stops Zachary from buying bad pet food. And her immediate reaction is essentially, ooh, hot boy.
Yes.
But also that he wouldn't be interested in her because she's not the kind of girl that he would like. But when her sister takes her out for a birthday dinner, she again runs into Zachary at the restaurant. And they get to chatting about Ambrose. And this is also when Merrily makes up a lie about a fake boyfriend to get her sister off her back, using Zachary as a template.
Ooh. it's very cringy. So Blair, unlike essentially everyone else, does not like Ambrose. She does not like animals, therefore she is a bad. She might be the daughter of a man who owns the pet supply store, but she is 100% not an animal person. Like I said, a bad. So she insists that Zachary bring Ambrose to the pet store to find him a new home. And she insists that Merrily takes Ambrose. But when Merrily says she can't, Blair gets annoyed. And when Ambrose kind of like swipes his paw at her, kind of like batting around, like very gently, like he's kind of almost waving, Blair freaks out and decides that Ambrose is a vicious animal that needs to be dealt with. And when Merrily defends Ambrose and says she's freaking out, Blair has her fired.
It like this is extreme reaction to the max here.
Right.
So when Zachary finds out that Blair had Merrily fired, because it took a minute. It wasn't like it was instantaneous. He knows he can't keep dating Blair. And when he breaks it off with her, he also finds out that she's kicked Ambrose out of the house. She's basically like opened the door, thrown the cat out, shut the door, and been like, bye, bitch.
Where's Ambrose? I don't know.
Yeah, like an unremorseful, terrible human. So now Ambrose is missing and he can't apologize to Merrily because the only place he knew specifically how to find her was at the pet store and she's not there anymore. And he only knows her first name and, That's it. He knows basically nothing about her. And why does he feel so strongly about apologizing? Well, stop asking him that. Get off his back.
Because he's a good person and maybe he likes her. I don't know. So meanwhile, as another part of her birthday present, Merrily's sister Jacqueline takes her out for a girls' day. So spa, mani-pedi, shopping, getting all cute. They find an amazing dress and they get all dolled up. Jacqueline insists that Merrily shows off this new look to her boyfriend. But remember, she doesn't have one. She's using him as a template. Oh, no. What is Merrily to do? So she convinces Jacqueline that she needs to go to the firehouse alone. Don't worry about it, whatever. And then she starts the long walk home from the firehouse. But who might be sitting by the side of the road but Ambrose? She found him. And Marilee knows that Ambrose belongs to Zachary. So she scoops him up and brings him to the fire station. And it turns out that Zach is gonna see her in all her cuteness.
So as a thank you for saving Ambrose and as an apology for the job thing, Zachary takes Marilee to dinner. Since it's at a food truck and she gets cold, he gives her his jacket before taking her home. And the next day, he shows up at her school wanting to take her to coffee to celebrate the end of term and her taking a test, and to get his jacket back. Like, it's a little contrived, but like not the worst one you've ever seen.
Right.
But this time, when he drives her home, they find her door open and Queenie has been found by management.
Oh my gosh. So tragic. So while Zachary tries to save the day with, like, you know, doing building code speak to the manager and, like, you know, all sorts of housing code eviction stuff. And he ends up not really being able to keep her from being evicted. So that's sad. But having this whole big house to himself, he invites Marilee over to move in until she can get back on her feet. And with no better options, Marilee accepts. Luckily, Kitties, Ambrose, and Queenie fall instantly in love. So there will be no cat issues with the roommate situation.
Yeah. Persephone and Pigeon did not fall instantly in love.
Persephone doesn't like other cats. She only likes people.
And the Pigeon's kind of like that, too.
I call bullshit on Ambrose and Queenie liking each other. Cats don't usually like each other like that.
Well, I can tell you that is addressed in the book. And I can tell you information about that after we're done. Very nice. So Marilee, having no job and on school break, starts helping around the house. Zachary's looking for, like, the right shade of white to paint the wall, and she is magic and figures out how to get it correct. And she connects the stove, and she can tile the backsplash, and she can cook and everything. She's just a handy gal to have around.
Yeah.
And Zachary is spending all of his free time with her. But when the guys at the firehouse suggest that it's because he likes her, he shuts that down like, whoa. And nope, he's not interested. She's just there. Like, he doesn't do love. Remember?
Haha, Zachary. Well, Marilee is really starting to like Zachary. On the advice of her friend, she hangs mistletoe to see if he'll kiss her. Just like the weirdest advice ever, but whatever. But hang it, she does. And kiss her, he does. Ah, confusion. So many feelings. There's feelings abound. Everybody is freaking out, like, including us watching. We're like, ah. So kind of feeling good about this, Marilee invites Zachary to this party because Sister Jacqueline wants to meet him, and, you know, they've kissed, and so maybe this is a thing. But he declines, saying he has to work. But when Marilee arrives at the party, Zachary is there and kind of being all around this lady in a red dress, and Marilee feels super betrayed.
So that night, Marilee moves out, or that morning, like the following morning, you know, within 24 hours,
yeah.
Or maybe even 12. Because how could she not? She can't stay there. She can't stay in a place where she's being lied to by this guy that she's in love with who doesn't love her back. And Zachary is confused. He thought things were going well. He thought they were, like, vibing and having a good relationship. That's not a relationship, but whatever. But he's not going to stop her since they're not a couple. And it's not his fault. He didn't do anything. But both Zachary and Ambrose are down in the dumps. Because they both miss Marilee and Queenie. And Marilee didn't tell him where she was going or leave a forwarding address and won't answer his calls. So he knows she's upset, but he genuinely is like, I don't get it.
Because they don't know how to talk to each other. But anyway, on Christmas Day, Zachary is having the worst Christmas ever without Marilee. He apologizes to Ambrose for putting them both in this position to miss their respective ladies, and promises that if he could do something, he would. So, cat magic to the rescue, Ambrose is a good boy and paws at the newspaper. And Zachary looks at the newspaper to see what story he's pawing, and it happens to be a story about the pet adoption place that he knows Marilee is going to volunteer at on Christmas Day. Ha ha! He can find her! Thanks, Ambrose!
So, with blatant misuse of taxpayer funds, Zachary takes the fire truck with lights and sirens to the park for the adoption. He and Marilee have to clear the air about the party, but it turns out he was there for work, as he was there promoting the firefighter calendar, and the lady was not his date at all, but just the mayor's wife who wanted to take a picture with him. And Zachary declares his feelings for Marilee by imitating the mating rituals of mountain lions and climbing to the highest point and asking her to join him.
So romantic.
Since she does, we know they'll be together forever. After all, they've already kissed once. And
one kiss means forever.
And they kiss again. And since the sequel to this movie does air tonight, and it sort of sounds like maybe they're not together in it, they better get their asses in gear and get back together by 10 p.m. They have until 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time today. And if not, the riot on Twitter will be real. I guarantee we're all going to lose our goddamn minds.
I did not realize that they are not together in this movie.
That is the rumor. Yes, is that they, like, might not be together at the beginning of this movie. Might have, like, this might be a rekindled romance.
Oh, my gosh. My heart, though. Like, I need to know everything. How did they not get, like, what split them up? What happened? We'll find out today, I guess.
hold your goddamn horses. It starts at 8.
I need to know now.
All right. So, there are a few things that I think I want to just touch on that I learned about the book.
Great.
That I think you'll appreciate knowing. I don't think you'll appreciate, but I think you'll appreciate knowing.
I'm so ready.
So, first of all, my understanding is that Ambrose and Queenie are both cats with, like, I don't think Queenie has any narration, but, like, Ambrose, like, narrates some of the book. Like, it's from his POV.
Wow.
And he's on his 9th life. He apparently, like, in his past lives has come across, like, Marilee and Zachary and Blair before, in that Blair killed him in one of his lives.
What the fuck?
Sorry. So he dislikes Blair because she fucking killed him. But he was in love with Queenie when in a different life. And so they already know each other.
Oh,
and that's why they have instant love.
Okay.
But yeah, he decides that in order to have the best life, 9th life, he has to, like, help somebody. And that he's helping Zachary and Marilee get together.
And then he can go to the Heaviside layer?
Yeah, pretty much. Like, also, like, there's a lot of, like, weird changes, it seems like. Where, like, Zachary hates his parents. It's not only that they got divorced, but he, like, actively hates his parents. And Marilee's family is all totally fine.
Oh, her parents aren't dead?
Her parents aren't dead. She has, like, a ton of siblings.
Huh.
It's like, I'm not sure. I don't know. Just different.
It's harder to have multiple siblings, I think, in a 90-minute movie.
I agree.
To get to know them.
But still, like, her parents are fine. You know, that whole, like, my parents died and I put my life on hold thing. Not there. And there's not, like, all these firehouse scenes.
Oh.
which seems very weird to me as a thought process, because like you're always at the firehouse with Zachary.
Yeah.
And he's always being ribbed by the guys. And I think that's like really endearing.
Yeah. It's actually like kind of a new and noteworthy I was going to talk about.
Yeah. And lastly, which I think is, you know, another reason I will never read the book, is apparently Marilee is obsessed about, and Marilee and her entire family is obsessed about the 50 pounds that she lost at some point, like since high school. So.
Ew.
Yeah. So, like, this movie, just go with the movie is the answer.
Yeah.
But if you want more in-depth, you should listen to the Witch one, which was better. It's a fun episode, but.
I mean, Witch Was Better is always a fun episode, even if the books are, like, terrible. But yeah, whatever.
But the answer is movie.
Movie. Great.
All right. Should we get into what the fucks?
Yeah. I mean, I only have a couple little things. But okay. At one point while watching the movie, I was channeling my inner Stefan because I was like, this movie has everything. Christmas, love, cats, home renovations, Superman.
It does have everything. I agree.
It does. It's like all of the things that I like about just like, you know, when I'm spending my time not working, it involves cats, yeah. Home renovation shows, Christmas, romance. Not so much Superman, though, but, you know.
Could be worse.
Could be worse.
So I have a few what the fuck moments that I've been thinking about as what the fuck moments since well before our podcast, since the very first time that I saw this movie. They get me every single time. And this is how my brain works.
Great.
Okay. So the reason that Marilee and Zachary initially meet in the movie is that they meet at the pet food section of the grocery store, which is a great scene.
Yeah.
In like world's awkward lady moments. And I love it. Specifically the ice cream scene.
That ice cream scene is brilliant.
That is just kind of like females in a scene.
Real fast to describe the ice cream scene before, like, so she goes to get like a pint, puts it back, gets a gallon, puts it back, then gets the tub and she's like, yeah, this is the mood today. It's brilliant.
Yeah.
And everyone can relate to it.
Yes. Although I did want to know, what flavor do you think Mrs. Claus ice cream is? Like, what does it taste like?
No, didn't it say like cotton candy mint or something like that? There was a flavor on it at some point.
Okay, I only saw that the name of the ice cream was Mrs. Claus, and I was like,
not cotton candy, candy cane. There was it was candy cane something.
Okay, that does make some sense, but it was called Mrs. Claus, and I was like, I do not know what you're buying. It's just, it looks sherbet-y.
Yummy.
Anyway, but okay, the reason they meet, they're at the pet food section. The reason why this confuses me is she works at a pet supply store, and doesn't she get a discount there? And why wouldn't she be buying her pet food from there?
That is a good point. Did she actually pick something up, though? I thought, yes. She just saw him. Oh.
No. She gets some cat food for Queenie.
I wonder if that's one of the things that she was just like on the way past it, saw this cute guy, wanted to go, whatever. And then she didn't want to be the weirdo that just stopped to talk to him and just grabbed something real fast.
I hope so, because I was just like, you know, once or twice, fine. But like you don't you get at least 10% off? And
yeah.
if you only get 10% off, that's shitty.
Like, yeah.
So that was always a little like confusion moment for me.
I understand that. Yeah.
The other thing that confuses me greatly is when they do their shopping spree dress up. So she goes, she's wearing jeans and like a sweater and a coat. And then they buy this dress, and then she's wearing this dress and heels and has to walk home. Like, and is in that and has to walk home in it. Where are her clothes? Where did they go? What happened to them?
Maybe she left them in Jacqueline's car.
I hope so. I hope she gets them back.
Actually, that whole thing is also my main what the fuck moment is generally when I go shopping for something and they go, and I know it's like a birthday, like we're getting dolled up or whatever, but usually you get dolled up if you have specific plans after, and they don't. Like, she's just going to go home. And she is buying the dress for the party that's happening. She does wear it later. So the big thing is, though, it's in the middle of the day. It is daytime. She is wearing this black short lace dress with black heels and a full fucking face of makeup. Like, dark lips, dark eyes, all this. Her hair is all done up. She looks beautiful. But the biggest question is, why? Like, why? Why? Like, when you're going shopping, why are you, like, wearing the look now? Even if it's, like, to adult, like, show your fake boyfriend that you're all dolled up. But then when she gets out of the car and is attempting to walk home, I was like, someone's going to think that she's a streetwalker.
Oh, 100%. Because also, that is a – I mean, she looks great.
Yeah.
But that is a tight, short, black dress.
Yeah.
All she needed to do was take off those heels and be carrying them. And that is one hardcore, you know, let's be generous, walk of shame, even though we shouldn't call it that, event.
For sure. Well, but – because it's just, it's such a nighttime look. The whole thing is a nighttime look. I don't even think she's wearing that much makeup when she goes to the mayor's party in that dress.
You know, it's funny because I feel like we've discussed Kimberly Sestad wearing like too dark makeup for
in
the time period
Sensibility
before.
And Snowmen.
Yes.
Yep. Which was an Across the Universe that I like, had.
Like, she's so pretty and yet they keep doing this to her, I feel like. And I'm not sure why.
In this movie, it's only this one scene, but yeah, in that movie, it was like freaking...
It was too much.
Yeah, she was like a freaking silent film star at breakfast. Like, it was crazy. Yeah. But that was my major what the fuck. The only small other what the fuck moment that I had was I kind of want to do a thumbs down on this, the location scouting for her apartment that she shares with Queenie before she gets evicted, because Queenie is supposed to be a hiding cat and her front door is a window.
It's a very weird, like, it looks like a townhouse. It doesn't look like an apartment to me.
No, but I'm going to, like, if you're going to hide something, your front door is a window. Queenie should always be in a room or something, because if she just walks by and looks out the window, anybody could see her.
Right. That whole part of, like, I get the secret cat. Like, there are some things that you do kind of deal.
Yeah.
He does make a point of, like, did you inform the tenant that you were coming? Like, they can't come in. You can't do that.
No, they can't. And she didn't give her, like, 48 hours to evict either. Like, she just said, get out now.
Right. I was a little bit worried about what, like, was it a furnished apartment? Like, did she, because she didn't seem to take very much furniture with her, but I feel like that's, there's some, but
there's,
like,
there's a lot of questions.
Yeah. I just, you know, that's one of those, like, we're just going to let that one go.
Mm-hmm.
That one we're not going to think too hard about.
True.
Should we jump into Hallmark Hallmarks?
Let's do it.
Okay. You want to go first?
Sure. She's not dating right now, and neither is he.
Yep. That's exactly what I have. I have, someone doesn't like pets, so they are obviously evil.
Telling your family about a bogus relationship that you have.
Yeah, I call that fake relationship / relationship of lies.
I like that.
We have the, when are you going to settle down?
Gross. We have a rival blonde. Blair is blonde.
Parents got divorced, so love is not real.
Big sister took care of little sister after parents' death.
Yes. I didn't know how to put this, but you'll understand, I think. Being told they're in love by an outside third party and then hearing what the other person in the relationship says as if it is related to them being in love and, like, mishearing things and, like,
I think you need to explain.
Okay. All his friends at the fire station are like, you love her. He's like, no, I don't. But then every time she speaks for, like, the next, like, five scenes, he, like, she's like, wait, are you okay? Like, you're being weird. Because he is hearing, like, do you want to get married, basically? Oh, yeah. And she, when she's like, what do you want to do for dinner?
Yeah, yeah, know, yeah, like, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Now I understand. Yeah, he gets the paranoia after realizing he's in love with her.
Well, but he was told that he was in love with her. And now everything that she says has a romantic connotation that maybe it has, but maybe it very much doesn't.
I see this. That's a good one. I like that. My next one's simple. They're picking out a Christmas tree.
Yeah. And decorating it.
Yeah.
We have a Folgers product placement.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
That's nice.
We haven't had those in a while.
No, we haven't. There was another product placement that I noticed in this movie, but now I can't remember. I didn't write it down. Mm. But my last one that I wrote down is getting upset by something but not asking for an explanation.
Yeah. I have communication issues.
Yeah. I mean, communication issues can, like, be so many other things. This is very specific. Like, I saw you do a thing, and I'm not going to give you any choice in explaining this to me or asking you about it. I'm just going to assume the worst and nope myself out of here.
Right. Right. Yeah.
Such a thing. That was my last one.
Me too.
Swell. Pretty Parade, even though I know what one of them is going to be.
Pretty Parade. I just like Marilee's look, just kind of in general. She wears like flattering, comfy looking clothes in a way that I'm just sort of like, yeah. And she's sort of like not, she's unapologetic about a lot of it, where like when they go to the restaurant and like the waiter is clearly giving her judgment about her puffy coat, which judgment on him for judging
a puffy coat
about having the puffy. Yeah, I have a lot of thoughts about that too. But like she was like, oh yeah, please take my coat. Like, it's like clearly she only has the coat because she's a sane person who doesn't have 17 other coats.
And it's cold.
And it's cold.
Hypothetically.
Yeah, except she is able to wear lace and like a mini skirt later. But the,
yeah. We're not going to think too hard about that.
So that was my Pretty Parade.
Yeah, my Pretty Parade was just kitties.
Woohoo!
And his house. I really liked his house that he's fixing up. It has really great windows and like a turret. It's fantastic.
I called it in my notes the Spellman house.
Ah, yeah.
Because that's really what it looked like to me.
I love it. For sure. Do you have any Across the Universe?
Yes. And not including Nine Kittens of Christmas, which is the title of tonight's premiere. So this is one that I'm pretty sure. I can't confirm it, but I thought of this visually. And then I looked it up, and they were both this movie and the movie Love at First Bark, which is a dog-related Hallmark movie. We're both filmed in the Vancouver area, and I'm 92% sure that the final pet adoption in both this movie and Love at First Bark is filmed in the same place with the same little like gazebo-y thing.
That's really, really cool. Yeah. I like that a lot. My only Across the Universe is Ambrose looked a lot like Elliot the cat from The Story of Us. And they are – I don't think it's the same cat because, you know, it was a long time before. But they're both cats that come to work with you.
I can't imagine that.
I know. And I just kind of wish that I had a cat that could do that.
Right. Like the idea that my cat would follow me out the door and into my car is laughable.
Right. I mean, Elliot had a carrier and everything, but the fact that they're okay being transported to and fro, nah. No. Not going to happen.
Like, the hatred of the carrier is real.
It's real. Speaking of real, I'm going to insert my really unreal here.
Yay!
If you are a listener of When Kiss Means Forever, you know that we have shows that we track where Hallmark stars will often be abundant on certain TV shows. One of those shows is Unreal, which is a TV show that was on FX for a long time, the more adult side of your favorite Hallmark actors. And we have two people. So the woman who played Blair, Chelsea Hobbs of Forever Christmas, she was the camera love, the camera operator love interest, side love interest of a character. And Jacqueline, Stephanie Bennett, was one of the early on contestants on the Unreal show. Yes, she played Pepper, a teacher, and she has a movie coming up soon where her last name is Pepper.
Cool. Do you have any new and noteworthy?
Well, I liked that there was so much like masculine energy in this movie. You don't often see that. Like, I liked all the firehouse guys, and it seemed like legit. And one thing that I thought was new and noteworthy about this movie is Christmas is an afterthought in a lot of ways, where I feel like this is one of those movies that usually bothers me where it didn't have to be a Christmas movie necessarily, but Christmas sort of like amplified the story rather than overtook it.
Yeah. I liked that it was Christmas. I felt that, like, if you told me it wasn't to do it outside of Christmas, it could be done. But I appreciate the Christmasness of it.
I hear that. Yeah.
Supporting shout out.
I loved Lucy at the pet store.
That's who mine was, too.
Yay.
Mostly for the scene in which Zach comes back to find Merrily, and Lucy is like, I'm so mad that you would ever date such a person as Blair. Don't you know she's a horrible conniving bitch?
Yes. 100% that's the same thing too. I'm like, she does not pull it, like, she doesn't pull any punches. And
yeah.
I also appreciated, she's like, I'm not going to give you Merrily's info, but her last name is this. Look her up.
Right. Like, there is like a thought of like, he can't find her, blah, blah, blah. But when they do find each other and she gets evicted, he almost immediately invites her to move in, and she does. So it's a little bit like, okay, insane person who apparently has no regard for your own safety, but
yeah,
it's fine.
Whatever.
It helps the story.
And I think, like, it's cute. Like, you know, if a cute guy like that had said, like, I have an apartment, I'm like, all right.
Well, that was another thing about the book, is apparently that doesn't happen in the book. She doesn't ever move in with him, which if she doesn't move in with him, then you don't get the, like, they hang out all the time and, like, have a routine, and she doesn't do things like find the perfect paint shade and connect the stove. Like, if she's not around, he's not spending time with her. And, it's a force together to create a relationship situation that I think you kind of need.
I think so, too. And that's one thing I like about this movie
is,
you know, I think when you have – I like this movie so much because – I guess I'm just going to put this here. Because I feel like I spent most of my life kind of like Merrily, in that, like, I never liked the guy. I never thought the guy would really like me. So I'd always have crushes on people, but I'm so used to not having been, you know, being the crush-y or whatever. And so – I just love the stories where maybe the insecure girl and the really cute guy just happen to be in a situation where they can really see each other as people, because life wouldn't bring them together in that way anyway. And I love those kinds of stories.
Yeah, I hear that.
Anyway, yeah. Kiss meter.
So we have two kisses. We have the mistletoe kiss and the final kiss.
Yeah.
For the mistletoe kiss, I gave it a 7 because it's awkward as a way to find out if somebody likes you. It's also, I don't know, I have a lot of feelings about mistletoe as a way to make people kiss each other.
Yeah.
But it does feel like it's really satisfying when it happens in the movie. So like I'm very torn about that.
Yeah.
And he gives this little smile, like he kisses her and then like smiles almost like against her mouth right at the end there. And it is, whew, that's what I wanted.
Yeah. So I actually gave this a 9 because because the kiss itself, if you were just going to look at the kiss and with that little smile and like how he's holding her face and whatever, I was like, this is a freaking great kiss. If I just take away everything about like the mistletoe and her embarrassment and that he's blaming the kiss on the mistletoe when obviously they just really wanted to kiss each other. If you take all of that kind of awkwardness away, sure, I understand you're 7, but the kiss itself, whew. 9.
And the final kiss, it feels more passionate in that they're really going for it a little bit more to me. So that one I gave an 8.
Yeah.
But I do feel like the lines around it are really dumb, even though I like the callback to like she initially like tells him like what she's learning and it's about mountain lions, blah, 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 blah. So, like, it's a good callback, and I like that, but it is stupid.
I agree. I think I'm just not putting them in the spot of, like, I'm just looking at the kisses because I also gave it a 9.
Okay.
But I agree that it, like, I like the callback. I think it's kind of stupid, just, like, the way everything was going. But the connection and the passion is there. I could have used a little bit more church tongue.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It does pull out rather quickly.
That's true. That's what she said. Sorry.
Okay.
It does. It zooms out pretty quickly. It could have been better. But yeah, I thought they just kissed well together, I guess.
Yeah. They seem to be friends. So. Yeah.
So, Hannah.
Yes, Katie.
Would you watch this movie?
100,000,000%.
Meow.
It's so good. It's so much fun. I watch this movie periodically. I will happily admit to listening to which was better when it initially came out, stopping mid-podcast to watch this movie, being like, I can't do it anymore. I got to go back and watch the movie right now.
I love that.
Yeah, that's where I am on this movie. Like it's so much fun and so ridiculous and it's great. How about you?
I love this movie. I think it's wonderful. I love the pet love. I love how this movie feels like it's really long, but it's not. And that's, I say that in like a good, they use their time really well. It doesn't feel rushed.
Yeah, it feels like a lot gets put in.
Yeah. They have time to have conversations.
Yeah. Yeah. There are conversations, but I also feel like I learned a lot about these characters and their relationship without it like feeling rushed.
Yeah. And I also said that sometimes I'm ridiculous. I quote myself, I love that Christmas is a sort of salad dressing on this movie and not the main ingredient, like Die Hard.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It helps that it's at Christmas, but it doesn't gotta be. No. But I like that it is.
Yeah. I hear you. I hear you completely. All right. So we suggest this movie. We like this movie. Yay.
Hope you enjoy 9 Kittens of Christmas tonight.
Yeah, we'll be on Twitter.
Tweet along with us.
And to do that, we are One Kiss Means Forever. The 1 and the 4 are numerical. We're also on Instagram and Facebook there too.
And if you just want to say hey, you can also email us at onekissmeansforever@gmail.com. And that's all spelled out like it is on our logo.
Thanks, as always, to Flint Pastures for our intro-outro music. His stuff's on Apple Music, Spotify, SoundCloud, all those fun places. And thanks, everybody. Merry Christmas. Happy Yay. Thanksgiving.
Meowy Christmas.
Meowy Christmas. Go stuff yourself with whatever food you decide to eat today. And then sit on your couch and watch television with us tonight.
Yay! We'll see you guys next week.
Bye.
Bye.